Well, take your Bible and turn to Exodus chapter 15. We started the chapter last week, and of course we'll finish it this week or this Sunday. But if you have an old Scofield, chapter 15 is on about page 88, and we'll be looking at verses 22 and above, so it's really going to be on 89 if you have an old Scofield. But let me read that first verse. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Sir. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank thee for this opportunity as we come together. We do pray for the many requests that were mentioned. We do pray that you'll be with our country. We look forward to next year. We pray that the people will look more to you, Lord. So many things going on in this whole world. We pray that you'll be with us today as we look into thy word. Speak to our heart. Amen. You know, as we look at this, what shall we drink? Exodus 15, 22 to 27. And verse 22 to 24, the testing allowed by God. And verse 25, the crying out to God. And then in verse 26 to 27, the blessings of God. You know, as we look at this section, we see it repeated over and over in our journey in this life. Whether it's the Old Testament saints and the New Testament saints, there are the trials, there's the testings, and there's the blessings of God that we see. These folks have just been delivered by the Lord through the Red Sea and, of course, destroyed their enemies. He is bringing about a test to prove them. It is not God doing it that he might find out, because God already knows. He knows what we're going through. He knows our heart. It is not God doing that because he knows, and he's doing it for a reason. But they would see their own heart and their downfall. Also, they are a picture of the believer today. You know, it's often been looked upon as the Red Sea. Now, of course, I know their salvation didn't happen at that time. But, you know, the salvation, deliverance from their enemy, looks at really a kind of picture of one when they're first saved, as he took them through that time. And, you know, when you first got saved, you may have been saved out of deep sin or whatever it may be you were saved from, but life seemed so joyful. But, you know, then all of a sudden, trials and testings happen in your life. And, of course, they're part of being a Christian. But then the first trial and testing we see, you find out they're immature. And, of course, they begin to murmur. And, of course, I'm sure that in our hearts sometimes we can look back and see that too. As we travel the life of a believer, we begin to understand that God has a perfect plan for all of us. And God allows the maras, and you'll see what that is in just a minute, and he allows the testing there, as well as he allows the elims, and of course the blessings in our life. God has a perfect plan for each one of us, and the testings and trials are a part of it too, as well as the blessings. If we only had the blessings, we would become spoilt brats and never grow up and mature. But as you know, it's through the testing time that God is maturing us and, of course, increasing our faith and our trusting him. Now, let's look at this. We read that first verse. They're 3 days into the journey into the wilderness. One source tells us that they have traveled about 16 miles during these 3 days. But you got to remember the great crowd that they had, and they had older people, they had younger people, and they had children, as well as adults. And, of course, moving that much people, it would take quite a while, as you think of the great number of children and of people there. But let us remember, they are following a cloud by day and the flame by night. Most look at that cloud really as being the Lord Jesus, pre-incarnate Christ, and they're following him, where the Lord is leading them. Now, you got to think of that, too. They're following the Lord completely. They're in his will. There's a lot of times that we're right in the will of God, and, you know, there's the chastening of the Lord, but there's the trials that God allows right times, sometimes when you're right in his will, night and day, and they're right where God would have them. They are in the will of God at that time, and they find no water. Now, God had just delivered them from the Egyptians, and now are we going to perish in the wilderness, is the thought of the people? God allows this to build up your trust and your faith in him. As one has said, let us be as watchful after the victory as before the battle. One of the 2 days in the wilderness would be hard, but now 3 days with these people, young people as well as older people, going through this time. Now notice verse 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Now, found water, but it was undrinkable. You know, there's one thing. I don't know how many Westerns I've watched, and as they go across the desert, you know, they come to that place, and they find water, but the water is poisonous. You can't drink it. And that's really what they see here. And I'm sure at first the people were excited when they saw the water, and some of them probably were running towards it maybe. But, you know, when they got to the water, they realized that it was bitter. You couldn't drink it. Now, God is testing his people, not because he wants to know what's in us. He already knows, but he wants us to know what's in us. The Lord is allowing testing and trials that we might grow spiritually and to bring out the best of us, while Satan is trying to tempt and bring out the worst of us. The attitude that we have at those times will determine the direction that we go and whether it brings us out good or bad to us. I'm reminded in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they were told not to preach this gospel. And of course, they went back to the group and back to the church. And of course, as they came together, they began to pray. In Acts 4 and verse 29, we see part of that. It says, and now as they pray, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, they may speak the word. Now, they didn't say, Lord, get rid of those that are coming against us. They're saying, God, give us the strength that we need to stand and to give out the word of God as we should. They didn't say, Lord, remove the enemies at all. They wanted the help that God would give them. You know, as you think of this, what was taking place, and they yielded fully to the will of God and asked God to give them boldness. And of course, the boldness came, they were filled with the Spirit of God there in Acts. And you know, the Spirit of God can give us the power to continue the will of God for our life. Now, you know, I often say, and we think of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, and of course you see three ingredients to really the Word of God going out. In verse 3, if our gospel be hid, it is hidden from them that are lost. Now, I've always said, you have the Word of God, the gospel, and you have you and I, we're to take the gospel to them. But it also says in verse 4, how Satan has them blinded to the truth. But you know, we know who it is that pulls the blinders down. It's really the Holy Spirit. As the Word of God goes out, he opens their eyes to see, and if they turn to him and receive him as Savior, the Holy Spirit of God will place them into God's family. But all three, the Holy Spirit of God is so important. You know, that's really such a shame today. There are a lot of folks that really, by certain groups and what they talk of the Holy Spirit, you know, people kind of hold back. But the Holy Spirit of God is so important to us, not speaking in some foreign language or some to that extent, but to fill us, to control us, to empower us, to accomplish his will. Now notice verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now they murmured against Moses. Remember after the first trip that Moses went to Pharaoh, and when he was wanting to tell him to be able to go out into the wilderness. And of course, he turned it around on them. And what he did was he began to place more. Remember how they had to get their own straw that they used with making the brick and made it harder on them. And of course, at that point, the people turned on Moses. You know, why have you done this? You just made it harder on us. Now, Moses, he's following what the Lord told him to do. And of course, let's be honest, Moses is a leader, but really the murmuring truly is against God, not just Moses. And in similar situations, when we murmur and complain about our life, it's really against the Lord. I do not think it's wrong, honestly, to say to the Lord, well, why is this happening? Why is it doing? And, you know, as I've often said, to know so that we can learn from it and so that we can learn what God's trying to teach us. And, you know, I've mentioned before that fellow that was in our church there in Evansville, that when he prayed, and in his prayer, he was going through trying times. And he said, Lord, your hand's been heavy on me. But he said, leave it there and help me to learn what you're trying to teach me, that I might know and to learn from it. Now, I feel so ashamed in my own life. So many times, you go through the Red Sea experience. Now, I'm not talking about walking through the Red Sea, but, you know, the trials and difficult times. And God takes us through them. But then another one comes up, and then we begin to complain just as these folks are. And not realizing, though, God can take us through the next time just as well as he did the first time. And in leadership, he's prepared, be prepared for the complaints and the faults. You know, I've noticed in churches, now I'm not talking about our church, but I have noticed in churches, there are some folks who always want to tell everyone else what to do. But, you know, when you do what they say, they don't want, if it fails, to take the blame. But they're always ready to point the finger at the one that the leader, such as Moses here. Now, notice, secondly, the crying out to God. Look at verse 25. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute, and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Now God is to the Lord. Go to the Lord for your needs. Moses knew who to go to. He was known, he was the one that was following the Lord even from the very beginning. Now Moses knew, after what had taken place before, that the Lord would answer. You know, it reminds me of a little verse in 1 Peter. We looked at it in 1 Peter not too awful long ago in our Sunday school study. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Moses also is asking in the right attitude too. You know, as you come to him, he wants us to know what it's for. But you know, so many times when we come to him, we're just wanting to complain. Usually, we do as the people and murmur and complain instead of pouring out our heart to God and rightly submission to a rightly attitude towards him. We so often in times of trouble forget Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Those are sometimes hard to take. God has a will and a purpose, and really and truly, in a sense, we can't say that, you know, what happens to us in our life, God knows about it. God knows about it. And when we cry out, it is not just to take it away, but what would you have me to learn from this? You know, that's something we forget as we go through those times. You see the grace and the mercy of the Lord, and he shows Moses a tree. When he cast it into the water, it became sweet, and they were able to drink the water. And of course, Moses shows us the way of faith to go to God and then follow his orders, his will. Now, both are a part of the walk of faith, going to God and obeying what he says, just as Moses obeys what he says. You know, it gets back to that little verse. I know I've repeated it probably no telling how many times. Somebody counted this in 2024. Philippians 2:13, it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's working his will in our life, what he would have us to do. And we know his will, when we know it, to do would be to step out. And as we step out, he's there to do it through us. How we need to learn that. And of course, that goes right along with the Holy Spirit. A lot of times, you know, we're out there doing it in the flesh. But when you know his will and you're stepping out, Warren Wiersbe tells us, knowing the will of God will never lead us where the grace of God can't keep us. Another statement by Warren Wiersbe. Warren Wiersbe said, their attitude to murmur and complain against God's will and to deal with them is to tempt God, means to deliberately adapt a disobedient position and dare him to do anything about it. The wrong attitude can lead the Lord to chastening us and not just to testing our life. There can also be a spiritual meaning, looking forward to the cross. You know, I know some people can go to seed on some of the illustrations, but, you know, when you think of the tree, you know, in my mind and others too, it kind of reminds you that's what Jesus went and died on the tree. That's where he paid the sin debt and made our salvation possible. But God used this illustration to the tree, and it took away the bitterness of the Mara. I know I've related that story, and of course, as I mentioned, Brother Bevinger, and I think keep thinking of his thought, Lord, what would you have me to learn from this? You know, it's quite a difference. Let me tell you, I've heard that fella, I know at the time our church was going, they were talking about a lot of the great super-duper saints and all that were around, but every time I saw that man, he was a super-duper, because someone to say that, Lord, keep your hand there. Let me learn to what you're trying to teach me. That's someone that's submitted to the Lord fully. Also, how I fall short, and of course, I'm sure we all do. Disappointments are often God's appointments, as one has said too. It really gets down to our trust in the Lord and fully being yielded to his will no matter what happens. Knowing that he is completely in control, that he has a will for us, and his will is always the right one. Now, a lot of times we probably will disagree with that, but we're the wrong ones and not him. He knows what's best. As we remember the early church in Acts 4, and they didn't pray, Lord, take the enemy away. They prayed, Lord, give us help, the Holy Spirit of God, fill and control us that we might be able to get and accomplish your will. Philip Brooks, a man of the past, said, do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be young, stronger men and women. Do not pray for tasks equal to your power. Pray for power equal to your task. You know, that's where we mess up, isn't it? You know, we're always praying, you know, to take it away. But, you know, we don't ask the Lord, give me the power to be able to accomplish your will at this time. And, of course, when we call, he calls us to a task. Remember Philippians 2:13. We know his will and step out to follow him. Now, notice in verse number 26, the blessings of God, verse 26 and 27, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Now, as you look at this, this is a promise. This is a promise to the nation of Israel. I know when a lot of the faith healers, they see this and they forget that, but I'm sure that very clearly here, this is a promise to the nation of Israel. This is a place that you have to apply 2 Timothy 3:15 to rightly divide the word of truth. Now, God promised Israel abundant physical blessings if they would obey him, and physically affliction if they disobey him. These promises are really to the old covenant, to the nation of Israel. It's not repeated in the church age we live in the new covenant. As we say so often, all scripture is for us, but all scripture is not to us. And I use the illustration there at the lake at the Red Sea. God's not calling us to go to the Red Sea. You go there and you say, open up water, it's not going to open up. That was God's will for them. But there's always a secondary application as you think of that, as we go through the problems. They may seem like the Red Sea and the trouble that they went through, but you know, the Red Sea experience. But the Lord knows how to balance the test and the trials with the blessings, And we see in the next verse the blessings. The Lord knows to give us enough blessings to encourage us and enough burdens to humble us and to know how much we can take. His hand is on the thermometer. And I think that's another statement that Warren Wiersbe has. I don't remember. I didn't write it down here. But, you know, it goes along with 1 Corinthians 10:13. There's no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. You know, God has promised us spiritual blessings, the church age, Ephesians 1:3, and the heavens will, and in heaven we'll experience the physical things that we have down on this earth, but that time we'll have a new body. We won't have any pains and all of that. Now notice verse 27. They came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the water. Now the blessings of God. One has said, it's believed, that there were only 7 miles between Marah and Elim. You know, we all find in this life many frustrations and discouragements and sorrows, the morrows of life. We often, we don't bypass them. God usually takes them through him. He's trying to teach us a lesson. But we go through them and, of course, not around them. He's trying to teach us something. In Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. We will have the morrows in our life, the problems, the difficulty, the trials. But there's also the Elims in life, the blessings of God. And God usually balances them in our life. He's trying to teach us. And we have the Elims of heaven in the future of eternity. You know, we've got a lot to look forward to. As my old friend used to say, we're on the winning side. If you're a child of God, you're on the winning side. Also, some can go to seed on spiritualizing here, that secondary meaning. But I've heard many speak of that. You know, you think of the tree he threw in, and you can't help but think about the cross that Jesus died on. Now, Elim in our life, but he gives us also the Holy Spirit. We have the Elims. We have the Maras. We have the problems. But the Holy Spirit of God is within each one of us. And he has promised not to forsake us. And, of course, we need to remember Romans 8:28 and also 1 Thessalonians 5:18. God has a purpose and a plan. And, you know, he wants to teach us and to let us to learn. But let us always remember we have that prayer that we can pray as Peter gave us in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for us. He loves us. He's chose the best for us. He's got the best plan in the world for us down here, and he has all heaven that will be with him forever. Peter also says in 1 Peter 4:12, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you. Others before us, of course, have gone through those trials and those times. God has taken them through, and he will take us through those too. But you know, as you think of this, believers, let us learn from the trials and the testing of life and to trust the Lord fully, for he is working out his will in our life. When we only complain and murmur, we will only feel sorry for ourselves and will miss the lesson that the Lord is trying to teach us. And of course, God has a purpose in all of it. Now, I would say, and of course, I know those that here all profess to know Christ as their Savior, but as this goes out over the internet, if you're here and you don't know Christ, won't you trust him as your Savior? We always like to close with the gospel. Romans 3:23, Romans 3:10, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Friend, you're a sinner. That's the first step that we have to say, to realize we're a sinner. Nothing we can do. You can't work your way to heaven. But God in his love and grace, we mentioned that tree is, you know, Jesus went to the tree on the cross. And on that cross, he died for us. He paid the debt. The third day, he came out of the grave. Once you put your faith and trust in him and him alone, he'll save you and he'll change your life. Let's bow our head just for a moment. And I know it seems like it's been not very long ago we had the Lord's Supper, but really, we missed two times, and really it's December the 1st, so this will be the time. But let me read, as we just have a quietness here, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper here in a minute. But Paul records, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink of the cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation," really the better word is really judgment, "to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if you would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." I want to ask us, just before we raise our heads, that as we look into our own heart, and if there's sin or something there, confess it before we take the cup.